The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
In Luke chapter 14, Jesus told the large crowd that was following him that if they wanted to be his disciples, there were some terms, there were some conditions that they needed to meet. One of those terms is stated in verse 27. Luke 14:27, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This statement is in reference to suffering. Suffering is one of those topics that most people simply do not want to talk about. And I can understand that. I mean, because after all, no one really wants to suffer. We don't even like the idea of our pets suffering, much less thinking about or having to acknowledge that one of our close loved ones, such as our parents, our children, or our spouse, that they are going through a time of real suffering. However, suffering is one of those key topics that we need to discuss if we're going to speak about being disciples of Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, one of the very first things that we need to realize about suffering is that Jesus himself had to suffer to enter into his glory. Now, that's a shocking statement when you first come to realize this, but this is what Scripture shows us. This is what it says. Go with me to the book of Luke a little later than where we are in Luke 14. So go to Luke 24 and begin reading in verse 25. Luke 24:25. I'm going to read this in the New American Standard Version, verse 25, and it says, "And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe and all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ or for the Messiah to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" I think the NIV, is much clearer in the context of what this verse is actually saying. In verse 26, it says, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory?" Brethren, what we also need to grasp, what we also need to understand, is that Jesus Christ calls us to follow in his steps. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples that they would be hated and that they would be persecuted or they would receive suffering. Go with me to John 15, verse 18. John 15 and verse 18. "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Then on the other hand, Jesus also said that we would be blessed for our suffering for his sake. Go to Matthew chapter 5, much earlier. This is much earlier in his ministry than what we've been dealing with so far, because what we've been dealing with there in Luke is right at the end of his ministry, right before his death. Matthew 5, it's much earlier. Verse 10, Matthew 5, verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And brethren, here is a very important point for us to realize. Simply suffering is not what Jesus is referring to here in these references. We need to understand, we need to realize this, that simply suffering because we are human is not what Jesus is addressing. There is a difference. So here I'd like for us to take a look at some passages as we find all of these are going to be in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul. As he addresses the early New Testament church, the saints there, about suffering for his sake, for Jesus' sake. Paul also warned the saints who followed his teaching and example to expect suffering. Go with me to the book of Acts 14, Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, and confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much suffering, we're going to enter into the kingdom of God. Philippians 1, verse 29. Philippians 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Verse 30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, in other words, what you saw in Paul, his persecutions and all the things that he went through is what he's referring to, and now here to be in me. In other words, he's still going through them, and he's saying, I'm warning you. You're going to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. These are things you can expect. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The J.B. Phillips New Testament translation says, persecution is inevitable for those who are determined to live really Christian lives. It is inevitable. I think that's very clear in the way it states here. We also can see examples and wordings from the Apostle Peter, who also wrote to the saints to be prepared for suffering. So go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if, when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? In other words, you're human and you make mistakes. Things happen and you receive some persecution. You receive some suffering because you're a human being. And you deal with that in a patient way. What is that? You know, this is what he's saying. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, you have to read the entire context here in 1 Peter and come to the understanding what he's referring to here is, if you do things because you're a human being and you suffer and you deal with it patiently, well, that's good, but what is that really accomplished? And overall, because he says, now, on the other hand, if you suffer, and he's meaning because you are following the godly way of life and you suffer. That's what he's indicating. That's what he's taking, what he's saying here. But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He's giving us the manuscript. You know, he's given us the playbook of how we're to deal with it. Now, there's a lot more to it than just the wording, obviously, but this is what he's saying here. Continuing here in 1 Peter, let's go to chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange happened unto you. Wow. And like I said, when you see all of this in the context, he's talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Because you're a, quote, Christian, because you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Think it not strange when this happens, but rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. And so he is contrasting here and showing, not because you've done things that are wrong, because all of us are going to suffer if we do these kinds of things. He said, don't let this happen. Don't do these things. This is what he's saying. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Or as is better translated, because of this reason. Because you are a, quote, Christian. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I think this is a pretty good conclusion that we can come to and make this statement, that the saints who lived in the first century A.D. knew that their lives were to be a life surrounded with suffering because they were followers of Jesus Christ. Let's see some examples now of some of the suffering that took place among some of these early church people, and I'd like to start with the apostles. The apostles not only wrote and warned about suffering, they also suffered because they were followers of Jesus and his teachings. I'm going to give you five things here. Numbering is not really the main point, but it helps me in my notes. The first one is they were threatened and beaten. This is to the apostles here particularly. Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. And to him that agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, why were they called and beaten? Because they were in the temple and they were preaching Jesus Christ as being the Savior. So somebody goes and tells these leaders of the Jewish community, and they said, there's these guys over here preaching about Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus has already been dead. And so they call them over here, bring them over here, we're going to see. And they talk to them, and then they beat them. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they went back to the temple and started preaching in the name of Jesus again. Number two, they suffered hardship because they were apostles. Apostle means one sent forth. So Jesus Christ had sent them forth in particular ways and with certain duties and responsibilities. And so he sent them forth. And it's the Apostle Paul that addresses this particular issue. Because they were apostles, they suffered persecution. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 9, New American Standard Bible. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For I think God has exhibited us apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. So he's saying there's a difference here, the way that the world, and here the world could be other Jews who are non-believing Jews, or the Romans, are dealing with these men who are the apostles in particular ways. And they learn who they were, and they sought them out, and they did more horrible things to these than they did even some of the rest of the members, even though other members suffered also. Verse 11, to this present hour we are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. So again, he's telling us some of the ways of how we are to deal with these things. Verse 13, when we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. In other words, it's still happening. This is what he's saying. A third point about the apostles suffering because they were followers of Jesus Christ, and that is all the apostles suffered martyrdom. All of them were put to death because they were believers and followers of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Number four, Paul especially suffered a great amount of suffering because of Christ's sake. He lists many of those for us over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Anybody like to be volunteered to be beaten with rods once? Three times? Once I was stoned. Twice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep. And sojournings often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in peril of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. Among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirst and fastings often and cold and nakedness. Besides those that are without, which comes upon me daily, there's also the care of the churches. He experienced many years of being imprisoned because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then finally, he was beheaded somewhere around June 68 A.D. The fifth point is some of the early church brethren also suffered a great deal because they were followers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it was at the hand of unbelieving Jews. Now, we could look at this and go, what do you mean? These people, most of these people, so many of these people had been Jews, or they had at least been proselyte Jews, and then they became Christian, and the Jews are persecuting them. They were also persecuted by the Romans, but even by unbelieving Jews. Acts chapter 7, 54. Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him. This is Stephen. With their teeth, and he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and saying, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And of course, these people, they thought, this is awesome. This is great. Only it's not what happened. Then they, meaning these people that had gnashed upon him because he was telling them that the Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ. And so they ran up there and they start beating on him, and they were cut to their heart, gnashing on him, biting on him. And so he tells them, guys, I see God the Father and I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. And they just love to hear that, right? Verse 57, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him in one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he died. Chapter 8, Acts 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there were great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And who was one of the main ringleaders against the church brethren was this man called Saul. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed there. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning any of those who were followers of this teachings of this man, Jesus Christ, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And we know what he wanted to do with them. Some of them were killed. Some of them were caused to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Some were put in prison. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Go, wait, Revelation 2, isn't that unto the churches at the latter days? Yeah, I think so. Revelation 2, verse 9. I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know that the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Oh, so it's not just limited to the early first century church. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. I know your works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you behold fast my name and have not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, which was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. This is yet future. Even though all of these people went through all of this suffering and this persecution and torment and all of those things, what was the attitude of these people? It's recorded for us. The attitude was one of they rejoiced and gave glory to God because of their suffering. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now I want to read these verses 3 and 4 in the New International Version, the NIV. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. James 1, verse 2. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or different temptations. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. So I'm just going to read a lot of verses to back up the point that I'm making here today. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The B part of that verse in the NIV says, but praise God that you bear that name. That you are that. That you are a Christian, or that you are a true believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. Brethren, here's the point. They knew that in Jesus Christ they were more than conquerors. They knew that they were going to suffer, and they knew as a result of that they were going to be, and I'm using that phrase because that's what the scripture says, more than conquerors. More than just somebody that endures it, they're going to be rewarded greatly as a result of it. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You can substitute this word tribulation and persecution. You can substitute the word suffering. It would fit there. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even the persecution. So as we can see clearly, I think, the early church was warned they would suffer because of his name. So, brethren, we need to ask a question. What about in our time and in our lives? It's pretty obvious since the days of the apostles in the early church, many people have suffered because of their belief in Jesus Christ. I want to make it very clear that just because someone has stated that they are a follower, they're a believer of Jesus Christ, I don't think that everybody that has done, I may be going out on a limb, I know this is contrary to what some of the Church of God groups have actually taught. They say, well, all these people who claim to be Christian and they die, they're not really sufferings of Christ. I really question that. I really would question that. And I know that there are a couple of the groups who teach it's not. And I question their coming to that conclusion. I think there are people, they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They don't understand all the truth. But they have accepted that and they've received persecution as a result of those statements. And that's an incredible thing to me. In fact, I ran across, I think it's an interesting fact that I ran across in preparing for this sermon. And the statement is, at the Nicene Council, which was a meeting in the 4th century AD, there was a collection, there were a group of 318 delegates who had assembled themselves together. Why they were assembled together was they came up with some doctrinal issues in the church that we do not accept. That's not where I'm going with this. But out of those 318 delegates who were there, only 11 of them had not either lost a hand or an eye, walked with a limp because they had been tortured because they had stated they were followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know that I would conclude or I think that any of these would be considered as real true believers as we would understand believers. But I think that is persecution and I think that is suffering. I guess a question I have to ask us is, do we believe those are the only ones who are going to suffer? People who state they're followers of Christ and they don't really follow in all ways? I don't think so. Today there are people even in the United States and other Western countries, as well as many African nations. There are many, many people who are persecuted in various ways because they state they believe that Jesus is the Messiah. There are people that we might even know that are not part of a Church of God group who also have been rejected by friends and co-workers and neighbors, even family members, because they have claimed to be Christian. I also know that that's happened within the groups of the Churches of God. There have been people that have lost a lot of these things and have been persecuted in losing a lot of these things. But I want us to remember the words of Jesus Christ over in John 15. John 15 and verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you or called you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. And then let's remember the words of the Apostle Paul over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him be glorified, and let him glorify God on his behalf. Verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Brethren, without a doubt, we who are true believers and followers of Jesus Christ need to be prepared for suffering in whatever form that it may come upon us. The fact is, God sometimes allows the wicked to persecute his children. Why? Because sometimes there are end results that God is wanting to be developed in our lives. Because sometimes persecution or suffering can help to purify us to become more like Jesus Christ. I'm using that term with intent. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, in other words, this purifying effect that he's wanting to come about, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So I think that we can see that enduring suffering as a Christian because of Christ's sake can make us worthy of the kingdom of God. Again, I use that word because that's what the scripture says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. verse 5, which is a manifold token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. That last part through the Phillips New Testament translation says, without doubt, he, meaning God, without doubt, he intends to use your suffering to make you worthy of his kingdom. So I think it should be clear that if it should happen that we do suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, then we are not to be discouraged because we know the end result of it. We've seen it. It's here. It's what we're told here. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. And I'm going to read this in the New American Standard Bible. After you had suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself purify, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, brethren, I want you to please understand, through all that we have seen here today, we've still not addressed two, I believe, very important questions. The first question is, just what is meant by the term the sufferings of Christ? Because I didn't really address that. And the second one question is, what is the difference between a simple suffering because we are human and the suffering of Christ? I didn't really address that either. So in other words, what is it meaning? What is the difference between suffering because we are human or suffering for his sake? Well, you're going to need to stay tuned for the next part of the series on being disciples. That's going to be the next part. And now the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Brother, God's name is upon each one of you, and he loves you very much, and he blesses you very, very much.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.